there, everybody, and welcome to the Android Central Podcast. It's episode number 110 for Thursday, October 4th, 2012. I'm not going to say welcome back or we are back. I'm going to say Mickey Papillon is back, ladies and gentlemen. Mickey.
It's been a couple weeks. I realized this.
So welcome to the Android Central Podcast. I'm Phil Nickinson, your host for the show and the editor of Android Central, blah, blah, blah. You know us. Mickey, the cell phone junkie, has been gone for far too long. Good to have you back. We should have just had you. Forget these other guys.
I suppose that'd be fun, though. With some of the content that's been up lately on the site, it would have been, really not that exciting just to have been me. Because I've been like, oh, what do you think about the Galaxy Note 2? Oh, I haven't seen that. What do you think about the Galaxy camera? I haven't seen that. It just wouldn't have been as good. So.
Should have been last week. I was talking cell towers from Korea. You would have loved it.
I know. You know what? I heard that. It's actually a very interesting topic. We could talk more about that if you want, but probably at the end of the show when we've all finished our drinks.
Yes.
And everyone is kind of fading off anyway.
Much, much later. Jerry Hildenbrand from the site. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you, Phil?
Well, you know exactly how I am, but let's not tell anybody else, huh?
Works for me.
And all the way from England, we got Alex Doby.
Hey, everyone.
So it has been... I'm not even going to let you introduce anything. It's been a hell of a week. It's been a hell of a day. So I just want us to jump right in. I want Alex to talk about the Samsung Galaxy Note 2 because his review went up today. It's awesome. If you haven't read it, quit listening to this podcast right now and go read it right this second. All right,
yep.
Done.
Yep. So for anyone that's left, we've got a Galaxy Note 2. It's pretty awesome. It's kind of a cross between a lot of the sort of design elements we had in the S3 and the original Note. So it's a giant sort of supersized Galaxy S3. It's a little bit more squared off, a little bit thicker, a little bit heavier, but essentially it's just Samsung seems to have taken a look at what works and what didn't work in the original Note, and they've brought this second generation version of it out. Much, much faster, much better screen. It's the first device I'm pretty sure to launch with Jelly Bean, the first non-Nexus device to launch with Jelly Bean. It's very, very fast. It is much more pocketable than the original. It's now 16:9, so it's kind of taller and thinner than the other one. They've also cut down a lot of the sort of extraneous trim around the side. So it's very nice. I like it. I think if you're the sort of person that can live with a device in this size, it's definitely what you're going to want to pick up. It's edging closer and closer towards being a mainstream device in the Galaxy Note 2.
You would argue now that it's not already a mainstream device?
I don't think it is. It's certainly getting there. I mean, it's still big. It's still very big. If you look at the surface area, I think the surface area of this compared to the original is pretty much identical. So all they've done really is shift things around. It's taller and thinner, but that means, of course, it's easy to put in your pocket.
Right.
It's doesn't bulk out. It's easy to hold in your hand. You don't have to stretch your thumb so much to hit the buttons. This is where the software maybe falls behind a bit, because you've got the usual Android phone UI, and you still have to reach up the top to bring the notifications down. And there are a lot of things at the top of the screen that you need to touch, and it's kind of hard to, reach up, and you have to really strain your thumb to do that. So I think it's still a little way off being mainstream. Getting there. I've found this much easier to use than the original Note.
I tell you, I would disagree just from what I saw in the airport in Korea. Those damn things are everywhere. Not the two, not the Note 2, but the Note 1. I mean, they're everywhere. That size is definitely mainstream. I mean, I know enough people here. I would argue that I think the rest of you are just coming to where I've been for most of the last year, where I've had to really rework how I use devices with my minuscule hands.
Yeah, but I mean...
Welcome to my world!
I'm thinking in terms of not necessarily us, but the average consumer who's getting used to maybe a 4.3-inch device. This is a huge step up from that.
No, I could quite
happily use this as a main device. It's great. Just in terms of the sheer speed of it, it's fantastic. It's great having all this extra real estate and all that extra stuff.
Yeah.
But I think it's going to be a while before you see this being fully mainstream, before you see more devices in this, before you see an actual viable competitor to Samsung in this category, which I think is going to be a test of devices like this being more mainstream.
You disagree, Jerry?
You know, it's It's big. There's no saying, you know, there's no denying. But it's not even a phone one-handed. To me, I can deal with the size because you don't even attempt, and I haven't used the new one. This is the original Note.
Right.
You don't even attempt to use it with one hand.
Yeah.
You have to learn to use it a little bit differently. The only thing about the size that gets me is the portability factor. I'm from, you know, an old geek. I keep my cell phone in my shirt pocket and walk through the mall. Yep. And the Note's just not going to fit in my shirt pocket. It's not going to work the same way I'm used to doing things. If they all were that size, I'm sure I could get used to it. But, I mean, more power to anybody that can deal with it. But for me, it's just not going to cut it because of the size.
Mm. The big thing you got to remember, I went into this expecting it for the sort of ergonomics and the size to be as much of an issue as it was in the original Note. And I was really surprised that even though the dimensions are very similar, the small changes that have been made, so making it 16x9, getting rid of a lot of the bezel, making it thinner, that's actually made a huge difference to how pocketable it is and how easy it is to use with one hand. You're jumping between this and the Galaxy Nexus is a world of difference. The G-Nex is so easy to hold in one hand. It's so ergonomic. It's fantastic. But this is the improvement is surprising and pretty striking, really, when you consider that actually the screen's larger. They've got more screen on there and less of everything else. So technically it's a larger device, but actually it is smaller and it feels smaller. So,
when they come here to the States, I'm sure I'll get some time with one of them and maybe I'll change my mind, but that's just my first impressions.
But Blackman X in the chat saying is the first Note was boxy and this one isn't. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. It's the first Note was just this big slab that you look ridiculous using it as a phone. This, I think, less so. I think the buttons are actually further down as well, and it's easier to just kind of instinctively reach for the buttons if you're used to a Samsung device.
Mickey, you got any desire at all to pick one of these up?
You know, strangely I do. I was really excited to see Alex's review and James's unboxing and initial review, the video that he did. I watched that too. And strangely, and I think it's just because the spec sheet looks so amazing. I mean, there is no other device that checks all the boxes like this one does. I mean, I guess with the exception of it's still a pentile screen, which,
it is
for what? What's that?
It isn't pentile. It's RGB.
Oh, it is RGB. I misread that then, because the way that I was reading that, it was AMOLED, not Super AMOLED. Did I get that wrong too?
I'm not sure what we originally reported back at IFA, but they really didn't make a big deal about the screen. They didn't mention anything. All they said is, look at Super AMOLED. It's not pentile. You zoom in far enough, you can see it's not pentile. It's RGB, but it's not in the usual arrangement. It's a red and a green, and then a blue off the side, so it's not in the usual stripe setup. Kind of doesn't matter. All that matters is the actual arrangement, is that it's each pixel is 3 subpixels, not 2 subpixels, so you've got a better color balance, less discoloration, and no jagged edges. But of course that impacts battery life, because you've got more subpixels on there.
And I guess my point there is that it didn't matter. It doesn't matter to me at all. In fact, I don't actually really consider pentile to be all that bad. I mean, I had zero problems with the Galaxy, the Nexus. And looking at this, I mean, it has everything that you could want, as far as, you know, great processor, 2 gigs of RAM. It's got a big, beautiful screen. It's got a good camera on it. I mean, it checks all these boxes. And, the hurdle that you have to get over is, number one, are you okay with the size? Number two, is it going to be your only device? Because if you're also carrying another phone that's maybe, you know, smaller, this could be something that, easily isn't, to Jerry's point, that shirt pocket phone. It goes in, you know, to a case or a bag or something like that and comes with you that way. And then you just pull it out, kind of like how you carry a traditional tablet right now. Yeah. If not, you're absolutely going to have to make some compromises in the way that you do it. We all have our pocket real estate situated in a certain way with our wallets and our keys and chapstick and whoever, whatever else you carry with you. And if you have to change the way that you're doing something and carrying your device, certainly that's gonna be something that you have to consider. But I think the bottom line is that I've never been as excited about, or at least not this year, as excited about a phone as it was this one. And I think that's just because it's so different, and that size is really kind of nice, I think, and it brings in a different mark in there. You know, obviously we've got the 10 inch, we've got the 7 inch, you've got your 4 inch, and this is kind of in between that 4 and 7, enough to where it actually fulfills a need. And I think a lot of people are really going to like it. I love Styli, and I think this would be a really fun device to carry around. I've seen a lot of use of that in the device, and I think just knowing that you have to use two hands with it, you kind of relinquish yourself to saying, well, if I'm going to use two hands, I may as well use the stylus because it's so much more accurate, and it's kind of fun. It feels kind of nostalgic even.
It's good. I mean, the stylus input hasn't changed an awful lot from, you know, the hardware implementation. Okay, I mean, the pen has been redesigned, but pen input works pretty much the same way as it did in the original Note. You've got some the biggest change, I think, is you actually hover it over, and it has a cursor that appears on the screen, so you can kind of move that around, and it helps with precision if you're clicking on links and stuff in the browser. You've got some quick commands that you can do. You can gesture on the screen, all the rest of that stuff. But I think the big thing Mickey was saying before was that this is kind of what he was hinting at, was that this would make a great secondary device. And I would agree. I think that's something that was true of the original Note as well. I think that the changes in the design have made it easier to use it as your only device. But certainly this and a normal size smartphone, that would be a fantastic combination if you're the sort of person that wants more than one device.
Camera, you're pretty impressed with it too?
Yeah, it's. I was kind of looking at whether, trying to see whether it was the same assembly that's in the S3. I'm not sure whether it's identical, but certainly it's at least as good as the S3's. We came up with some pretty decent shots in the review. It's easily, I think, as good as the One X or anything else we have on a camera on Android.
Cool. Well, if you haven't read the review, go do it. It'll be coming here in the States, so you're going to be hearing a lot more about this.
Yep.
I think it was at the thing in New York tonight that Andrew was at, right? There was a big AT&T showcase tonight in New York City. So we've got that. Go take a look at it up on the site at your leisure. I want to transition into some HTC stuff because we had a whole bunch of announcements from them this week. Alex has actually, and I could talk about it a little bit. So we've got the HTC One X Plus that is real. It is official. Alex got to play with it in depth. I got to play with it, God, almost a month ago. For all intents and purposes, it looks and feels like a One X, right? It's got Sense 4 Plus on it, which is tighter. You're not going to see any gross differences in the UI since it's Sense. I don't know. What do you think, Alex? Did it impress you more than the One X already has?
In terms of the UI, not so much. I mean, it's a 1X. It looks like a 1X. And the time that I spent with it, it wasn't a huge amount of time. It was, you know, long enough to realize that, okay, it's faster with Jelly Bean. I think Jelly Bean has more to do with the speed improvements in this than the faster CPU. The biggest thing for me is the battery. I really couldn't live with the battery life on the International 1X. It would die after 8 or 9 hours, and I just can't live with that. So the fact that this is a more efficient chip, the AP37, and it has a bigger battery, I think that is going to address the one biggest concern that I have with the One X. And of course, Jelly Bean, awesome. It's great to have that in there. And you've got the awesome screen on this thing as well. Still, I think the best screen on any Android phone.
I agree. Absolutely. I took mine outside today in the sunlight and it's like, yeah. I mean, nothing compares.
It's no dupe, but it's still, I think it's going to take some beating, that screen.
Right. The HTC One VX. So this is a phone actually that snuck up on everybody. I tell you, I love it when, or is this the old Golf? I need to go back and look. Remember there was that one?
Golf was the Desire C,
Was it? Okay. This is a weird phone. I love that it snuck up on everybody. Like, this one didn't leak at all. In fact, I didn't know about it. I didn't see this one early either. It's an odd phone. It's odd for a number of reasons. One, it's called the VX. So, if you remember back when we got the HTC One line, you have three phones. The HTC One V, which is the low end. The HTC One S, which is mid-end and it actually looks more like this one, and then the 1X, which, you know, we all know and love. But, I mean, so this one looks like an S. It's definitely not quite the spec, you know, it's not the specs of an X, but it's not like a worse S or a better V. I mean, it's something totally different. And, man, I look at it, and I haven't gotten to play with it yet. I'll see it next week. I'm looking at this thing, and I'm like, I want to try this, because I know I've got a 1S somewhere. Do I have it here? Yeah, I've got a 1S sitting here. And it's just, it's so, oh, I love the size of this thing. I love the feel. It's so round, compared, especially compared to the 1X. See it here? And, oh, so the VX is just a little bit bigger. It's a little bit bigger in all dimensions. I want to try it. I want to play with it. But am I going to be able to go to a QHD resolution? Am I going to be able to go down in resolution?
You should send that to me, Phil. I'll hack it so it works on AT&T and then send it back to you.
Okay.
Serious. Yeah. We can do that.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, what do you guys think? It's a weird in-between phone. Here's the other thing that bothers me. Go back to the launch of HTC One, and it's like, all right, we have this one name for all our phones. We're going to do fewer devices this year. But, oh, hey, look, here's another one. And it doesn't really fit in anywhere. I mean, it doesn't look like a bad phone by any stretch of the imagination. But when we need companies to kind of give carriers the finger a little bit, as if they can, they can't. I mean, nobody but Samsung can do it. But, you know, I want HTC to be able to stand up and be like, no, this is what we're making. But then there's AT&T that says, nope, we need a low-end phone from you, please. And, or, you know, or mid-range, I guess. And build us something that nobody else has, and so far nobody else is getting. This is AT&T exclusive. It's just, I don't like seeing that continue. It's not.
I would almost, I think most people would rather see an AT&T 1S than this.
What's that?
Just looking at the design, I think. Well, it's, if you look at the VX is basically a Desire X. It looks slightly different. There are a few small design changes, but it's primarily a plastic phone. It's similar specs, similar resolution, but it doesn't look anywhere near as nice. I think HTC already had a very good mid-range phone, if you want to call that, and the 1S. You can see why AT&T would want something unique, but do they want something unique and worse?
Yes.
I've used a bunch of phones this year, and as far as, you know, for a phone to stick in your pocket and just use every day for your phone and for texting and everything, I think the 1S is probably one of my favorite phones of the whole year.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing bad you can say about that phone.
It's green kind of sucks.
But it's not bad. It's not bad.
You see it next to the 1X, and it's it ruins it for you.
Yeah, my wife has mine. We bought one from T-Mobile, and she won't give it back. But this 1X, 1VX, I don't get it. Part of it, some of it is better specs than the 1S, and some of it is not as good as the 1S. I'm not sure what they were trying to do here.
I emailed HTC back after I got the press release. I'm like, really? Really? Where the hell does this thing fit in? Like, I've sat through your meetings. I've gotten the speeches. What is this? I'm confused. I'm not that confused. There were I read a couple stories this week from, you know, people. Where does this? I don't get it. HTC said they were going to do fewer phones, and they're screwing up. And I don't think this is diluting. It's diluting the HTC One line, and that's bad. But in the grand scheme of things, I mean, this is an AT&T exclusive, at least right now. If this was a fourth phone coming to Europe and China and in, you know, India and everywhere else, then I would maybe worry about it. But, I mean, right now it's a one-off. I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're just kind of winging it. AT&T, like you said we want a device that fits in this level. You got to question whether it's going to be particularly successful, but there you go.
Is anything successful on AT&T? And I was thinking about it today, actually. I don't even know what successful means anymore. successful to us is not the same as successful to the carriers. The carriers have a number that they are going to hit, right? And we have no idea what that number is. Not one.
Andrew Vaca was in New York for AT&T's thing tonight.
Yep.
And I didn't get a whole lot of time to talk with him. He was kind of busy. But it looks to me like he was really impressed with the 1VX. Mm-hmm. So maybe there's something there that we're just not getting until we actually handle it and play with it.
Yeah, I'll see it next week, and we'll talk some more about this then, I suppose.
Yeah, I think of it as like the Razer M. The Razer M on paper, there's nothing there that makes me want to say wow, but everybody I know that has one says it's a damn nice little phone.
Right. Something else with HTC that I want to mention about since it's now out and in the open is this get started thing. You guys all see that? Alex got to see it demoed a little bit. I saw it again a month ago. So if y'all remember, I forget when, last year, the year before, HTC bought Dashwire. If anyone remembers Dashwire, which was a kind of a cool little syncing service back in the day. So this is born out of Dashwire. It is basically a web-based guide for setting up your phone. It's not meant for you and me. It's really not. It's not meant for people who can, rock stock Android and do whatever they want to and who are going to customize to their heart's content. This is for my mom. This is for the, 60-70% of the people, whatever the number is, who don't actually ever customize their phone because A, they don't know how, and B, they just can't be bothered. So the idea is you can take it home. They'll say, all right, take it home, just go to this website, sign in with your HTC account. Remember when the HTC accounts got deprecated? Was it last year or earlier this year? And they took that whole thing offline. This is what's come out of that as well. So you'll go online and you'll see home screens and you can say, all right, they'll give you a list of apps. They say, all right, here's some apps we think you might want to take a look at. Do you want to install any of them? Hit checkboxes, checkbox, and it will then sync it back to your phone and automatically pull them from Google Play. So you're not downloading it from some other place and you'll have wonky updates or whatever. What else does it do? You can set up your home screen. You can move the icons around just like you can in iTunes, actually, for the iPhone. So, this is a big deal, I think. And part of the idea is to have it on kiosks or even tablets in the carrier stores. So somebody can help walk the normal people. We'll call them normies. Don't tell anybody. So that before you leave the store after they've bought their phone, the customer service people can help them set it up. Now, I have no idea who is this going to cost HTC money? Will the carriers eat it? I don't know. Don't really care. I think it's a really interesting idea, and I kind of hope it takes off.
Well, and I want to take that a step further, and you talk about this being for normal people, but wouldn't you rather configure your phone on a computer and then just have that pushed down?
Yes,
I would. I mean, it's certainly there because it can be confusing when you're faced with a new operating system and it walks you through step by step. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather type in my username and password the 27 times that I have to do it when you set up a new phone on a computer than on a little screen.
Right. No, I do a lot of that. I'll install apps from Google Play from the website, but then I still have to go back and log in and everything. But if I could set up my home screen, I only use one home screen. If I could set it up the way I want to really quick over that, I would absolutely do it like that. I can't say too much more, but I will say this. There's more coming.
I
can't say more, but I'm confused over what's public and what's not. But I will say this. Look, this thing is like 3 days old, right? It's not even in the U.S. yet. I did ask about that. So, right now it's just basically for unlocked phones, right? For European phones that you can buy anywhere or whatever.
And I think it's only for the 1X Plus as far as I can tell.
Well, yeah, and it's a sense 4 Plus thing. So that's
right.
Part of it.
Right. Right now, going through what's on the web, it's not going to do anything for anybody on AT&T just yet.
Right.
I have a picture that AT&T is going to merge their system they already have that's almost like this. And, you're not going to be left hanging if you go to the AT&T store and buy a 1X Plus.
Hey, you want to know a secret? The system that HTC, that AT&T is using? It's Dashwire.
Mm-hmm.
Dashwire. This is just the beginning of this. They're not just putting this out here right now and just going to let it die on the vine. Like, this is going to be a big deal for them, and I'm really curious to see how people take to it. I mean, for nerds, it's not a big deal. Nerds are going to, you know, turn their noses up to it. I get that. But for HTC, it's an interesting thing, and, you know, in 6 months from now, 8 months, whenever more stuff gets pushed out, I'm going to be real curious to see what you guys think. So we'll talk some more about it later. I promise. What's next? We got so much going on. You guys want to talk about my crappy Android camera?
Oh, well, we don't want to gloss over the quad-core Tegra 3 and LTE on the chip.
Oh, yeah, talk about that.
Is it on-chip LTE? Do we know that for a fact?
It's the Icera system. I don't know if NVIDIA puts it on the same die, but it's part of the system on a chip.
Yeah.
This is
the first time they brought it.
Maybe I heard wrong. I was under the impression that they were using the same Qualcomm chip that's separate that Samsung uses in the Exynos LTE stuff.
I heard that this was the Icera. I will find out.
Okay.
I want to say we're not.
You're probably right.
I'm not sure. I need to go back and look. I want to say we're not up to Icera yet, but maybe we are. All right, so let's not talk about it now. Let's talk about my crappy Android camera. It's not that crappy. It's pretty crappy. So I've got the Nikon Coolpix S800 Charlie. I'm saying Charlie because Alex would say Z for Z's. I love that, so I'm saying Charlie. So it's an Android-based point-and-shoot camera that runs basically stock Android with two little buttons on it. And
that you hate, I can tell.
Man, we've talked about this. You guys have heard me talk ad nauseum about how I think Amazon and Barnes & Noble did tablets right? I mean, they redesigned the user interface, so what if it doesn't use the Play Store? I get that. But, I mean, if anything needs to have not a stock Android interface, it's a camera, right? It's a dedicated point-and-shoot camera. I mean, yeah, it's good that it has Google Play. It's good that you can put apps on it. It's very cool. If you haven't seen the Skype call I did with Jerry over a camera, you know, go watch it. You know, you can play Angry Birds on it. Worked just fine. Angry Birds worked pretty well, considering there's, like, no RAM in this thing at all. But, man, I mean, so it's got what looks like a stock launcher. So you've got the app drawer and then two icons on either side, if you remember all the way back to Gingerbread, you know, 2 years ago now. And one of those buttons is for, it's not the gallery, because it still has the stock gallery app. It's what do they call it? They just call it Play, or Player, I think. And that's Nikon's, like, slideshow. And the other button is to go into camera mode. And that's how you get to camera mode. You can't get straight to the camera from standby. You can't get straight to the camera from the lock screen. You have to unlock the phone and then go to the camera. I mean, it's horrendous. Now, one thing I haven't showed yet on video, and I need to explain a little better, is there are actually kind of two power modes, right? So there's standby, which you think of it like a normal phone, right? And then so you hit the power button, it turns on, and it goes to the home screen. You know, it goes to the lock screen and the home screen, just like normal. There's actually a timer set on that. I think by default it's set to an hour. And so after an hour, it actually completely shuts the camera off. But then when you start up from that, it goes straight into the camera mode. But you can't actually, like, do anything. It's just so bizarre.
It sounds to me like when you turn it on, it needs to boot up as a damn camera with a little button in the corner to bring up your Android home screen.
Right.
There's your fix.
Yep.
Hit the button to wake it up. It comes up with the viewfinder as a camera.
Yeah. No, and that's what it does if it comes up from the deep sleep. And not this isn't like totally rebooting power off, but it's a deeper sleep. And if you try to do anything, if you try to hit the home button, it, you know, says, well, you got to wait a minute. I don't want to wait a minute.
Well, it's because it's probably not really got Android running in the back.
Right, it doesn't. So it's, but I mean, you can run Android apps. The other thing that bugged me is like Instagram, right? You've got a camera, you're going to want to run things through Instagram. I get that. But it didn't recognize it in the Google Play Store, so it doesn't even show up in search. Now, look, this is a different category of device. I get that. But that's the sort of thing that needs to work at launch. This is what makes Android devices look like crap. when you buy something and it doesn't work, and that's just not good. We'll see how the pictures are. I actually haven't done camera tests on it yet. I've been doing a million things at once. Maybe we'll take it to San Diego next week and play with it. I don't know. I'm sure it'll be all right. I mean, it's a Nikon. It's a point shoot, 16 megapixels. I'm sure the optics are okay. So, any other questions?
Here's a question. Can you use, assume you've got a secondary camera app you want to use, or some app mm-hmm. that wants to bring in input from the camera?
Yes.
Can you actually do that, or is the camera part completely separate from the Android part? All it is outputs to storage, and then Android can then read from that storage.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure.
Because that would kind of suck if that were the case.
You can. So I can take a picture in the Instagram app using the Nikon camera software.
Okay, shame on you. Yeah, it does do that. Right.
What? I was testing it.
Okay, carry on. I'm sorry.
it's a novelty at this point. I haven't used the Samsung one, Alex. How's the UI on the Samsung camera?
Yeah, I was going to ask. Do you think? I mean, you haven't used a Samsung one. We've written about it. You've seen videos and pictures and stuff. Do you think we're now probably about 3 weeks away from the international launch of the Galaxy camera? Does this thing have a place once this hits the market, or is it just going to be steamrolled by Samsung?
I don't think this does. I think people are going to buy it because they'll see it runs Android, and then they'll call us. Why doesn't this work? And people are saying, well, just root it and put CyanogenMod on it. It's like, no, that's really not the point at all.
No.
I do want to talk about the Samsung camera for a minute. So AT&T today announced, and we knew it was going to have cell data. I mean, that's been in the specs from the beginning from IFA. And it was, GSM. But AT&T announced it. No pricing. No availability. Have no idea what data is going to cost. Now, here's my thought. If you haven't seen me, I did a post in the forums on this. Need to see if anyone's replied to it, actually. So I don't know what data is going to cost. But say it follows the traditional AT&T plan now, right? They've got that shared data plan where you bring devices to it. Tablets are, remember, for each device you have to pay a little something more every month, right? Just like $10. Yeah, a fee to use it. So, well, for smartphones it's more expensive. Tablets are an extra $10 a month. So I'm going to lump
this isn't a smartphone. It's more of a tablet than it is a smartphone.
Exactly. So that's why I'm going to give it that $10 a month fee, right? So it's $120 it's $120 a year. Sorry, I had to remember how many months it are in a year for a minute. $120 just to bring this thing to the table and use that data. But if you have one of these shared data plans, you already have a smartphone on it, right? I mean, 99.9% of the people are gonna. And if you have the shared data plan, you have hotspot on that phone. So why the hell are you paying another $120 a year just to get cell data onto this thing whenever you want it? When you could use hotspot.
It's the same reason you pay the $10 a month for a tablet, because it's convenient and you don't have to tether.
Yeah,
but you have to use your battery on your phone to do that. I would absolutely pay the $10 and add this onto my plan. No questions asked.
And you're not the first person to say that. I'm the complete opposite. Now, I get the tablet argument. I totally get it. But I'm going to use data on a tablet more than I need to use data on this phone. I don't need to take a picture. Philip Byrne from, an old friend of ours, and he works for Samsung, says, well, what if you're at the Statue of Liberty and you take a picture right then? So I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait and look at my pictures and post the ones that look good, which is probably the way you should do it, right? Or I'm going to use my phone. Right. If I want a crappy picture, I'm going to use my phone to take it.
I mean, you know what it's going to come down to?
Let me just counter that with the fact that what happens if you take a picture of the Statue of Liberty and then you hit some turbulence and you drop your phone in the water? Hey, guess what? You had Dropbox on your phone or on your camera, and it automatically uploaded that picture, so you didn't lose it.
For $120 a year, I'm going to take that chance that I'm not going to drop.
What's going to happen is when you go to upload your 300th picture and you break your data cap and you're on LTE and it was instant and you didn't know, and your bill's going to be thousands of dollars a month. People are going to hate that camera. 16-megabyte camera with direct access on a capped data line is stupid. Period.
Do we know if it's LTE? Because was that up in the air a bit?
It's not up in the air at all.
Okay. HSPA Plus then. I misspoke. But you have a capped data plan. And you're uploading 16-megapixel pictures, which are 16 megabytes each. Or more. This is going to chew your data plan up, folks. Be very, very careful if you're using this on a carrier contract.
I'm just not feeling it at all.
Nope.
It's so funny. I love the idea. I mean, I think about all the times when I take pictures and I say, boy, I wish I had this immediately on XYZ or whatever it was. And it's because, and I think maybe it's just because of what we do, but taking pictures of phones and wanting to get it then on a computer instantly without having to take out the SD card or plugging it in or anything like that, it sounds like a great idea. So, but taking that a step further is where I like that, is where it's when you're out and about and you're not within Wi-Fi access. But it's a very, very valid point, Jerry, that 16 megapixels, this is really going to chew through your data very quickly, and you're going to have to be careful with that.
Now, that said, this is all speculation on our part. We do not know what the data pricing is going to be. So until we do, and they could come up with something really cool. I don't know. But
they won't.
Yeah, I hope they do. Wrong. I would love you to.
So we'll see.
They're going to do it. They're going to give you some special pricing. It's going to be the exact same thing as everything they already have.
Yeah.
$10 is the best case scenario out there.
Yeah, no,
it's going to be the same thing as the original Galaxy Tab, because it's TouchWiz device with a microphone and complete data access, but no phone dialer per se.
From a network level, all it is right. is a tablet, right? It's a data device that doesn't have access to voice or anything. You know,
exactly.
You know,
it's $10.
That kind of stuff.
It'll be $10.
Yeah.
We'll see. We shall see. Man, I feel like we forgot some. I don't want to talk about Nexus rumors because, frankly, they're so confusing and they're all like third person at this point. So, whatever. I know Alex wants to talk about them. Alex is dying to talk about them.
there's only one that I think most of them are just crap, really. I think there's only one that is kind of credible. But even that one, it's still just, like you say, words on a page at this point.
Yeah.
There's no actual hard evidence that you can look at and say, yes, that is the next Nexus. That is all I have to say.
I'm convinced something's coming now, I think.
Mm. Something's coming.
Yeah, the question is what?
I was kind of back and forth on that for a while, I think. I'll say this now. If something is coming, it's LG. If something isn't coming this year, it could be anyone. But I think something is coming, and I think it probably is LG at this point.
If something isn't coming this year, it could be anyone.
Yeah, could be anyone.
Anytime.
Well, what I mean is, if this LG stuff doesn't pan out, then all bets are off.
Yeah.
I want it to be LG bad, but that's my reason to think it will never happen, because I want it.
I'll just say it. I think, and I've said this for a long time, I think LG hardware has been underrated and under marketed, but something else. I mean, the US just hasn't gotten the really good stuff. I really can't wait for more people to get their hands on this Optimus G, because I want to hear what people think about it. I know I've used it. I know what I think about it. I think it's okay. I think it's pretty good. But I'm really curious, and I'm really curious to see if people can get over their hang-ups. Because remember this time last year, and you know, even 18 months ago, how pissed off everybody still was at Samsung. Right? And now, I mean, Samsung's the golden child. Look how far around, you know, they've turned things. And you know, now it's just, the Galaxy S3 is awesome. The Galaxy S3 is awesome. I like it a lot. Like it a lot more than I did at first, actually. But, you know, can LG outgrow that stigma that they've always had here? Right or wrong? I don't know. And that's actually something, we talk a lot about that in Korea, and that's one of their main jobs right now is to try to, you know, rebuild the way people think about that company. I don't know if they can do it. We'll see. That's up to you guys.
They're moving in the right direction, right? Part of the reason that they were struggling last year, the software last year was pretty bad, let's be honest. Their Froyo skins, their Gingerbread skins were pretty awful. Their ICS stuff is a lot better, but they're still lagging behind on getting the newest version of Android out to people.
Right.
So I think that's the next step for them in terms of software.
So we'll see. Speaking of the Optimus G, Sprint and AT&T are getting it. We actually, cool. I've known that for a few days, but it's finally official. Sprint has, it's really bizarre. It's been such a bizarre PR week. It's inside baseball, but so LG announced both of them yesterday. AT&T put out its press release. Sprint has not, though I was able to weasel out of them that they're getting the 13 megapixel version, whereas AT&T is getting the 8 megapixel version. And it makes a difference, not just for the pictures and the resolution of the pictures, but the hardware of the phone itself. The 8 megapixel is flush. So the 13 doesn't stick out quite as much as the camera does on the 1X, but it's flush on the 8 megapixel version. So that makes a difference. Hopefully Sprint will, put out its thing later. We'll see. I don't know. It was really bizarre. T-Mobile Metro PCS merging. Cool. Anybody?
It makes sense. A lot of people are saying, what are they going to do? It's going to be just like Sprint with Nextel. Metro PCS uses the same frequency, and Mickey will know exactly how they use it. But they use 1700 and 1900, and T-Mobile is gobbling up as much of that as they can.
Right.
So that's why it was done, not so, they can make anything magical and pink and Metro PCSE.
No, I mean, this is a play on multiple levels. It's a spectrum play. It's a play for the low end. It's a play for just trying to find themselves and where they're going to go into the future. And I think the biggest thing that taking out of this is exactly Jerry's point, is that this is all about LTE and how they're going to get to that point. And it's easy to pick up a company and be able to use some of the assets that they have. But keep in mind, Metro PCS is not a nationwide company or carrier. So they don't have, it's not like it's picking, AT&T and T-Mobile merging, where they have as much spectrum as they did. But there's still some there that's going to be really helpful. They're picking up subscribers. They're picking up, a good group of people that's going to really help them to solidify, I think, themselves as that budget carrier that's going to be the alternative to the big guys. I guess the one I'm concerned about is, where does Sprint play into this? And of course, we've heard the rumors that Sprint is going to potentially go to Metro PCS with an offer of their own. But I think this is pretty much a done deal. I think T-Mobile is going to be the suitor here. And, I know Phil mentions in his post that they're going to run as two fairly separate companies. But I think at some point here, we're going to find, just kind of like what happened with Altel when they were acquired by Verizon, they just fade off into the distance. And this is going to be a T-Mobile company moving forward.
Yeah, I think we're still a couple of years away from that. And they're talking about basically shutting down Metro by 2015. I thought the interesting thing was really how they're doing it. So it's like the day the deal closes, you should be able to walk into a Metro PCS store and buy a GSM device that will actually run on T-Mobile's network. And that's a good way to do it, right? Because you got to start edging people off. I don't know Metro that well. I guess they're not a regional because they're spread out everywhere, but they're, big, they're Metro. They're big cities, right?
Call them a tier two.
Now, yeah, tier two. That's better.
They work around here as well. I mean, it's not just big cities. I had looked at a couple Metro PCS Android phones. It's really a lot like a Sprint phone. It's back when Sprint was good around here, Metro and Sprint were about the same with data speeds and coverage. And then you get into the middle of your house away from all the walls, it drops down because of the high frequencies that they're using. But other than that, I mean, it's a fine carrier. Nothing wrong with it if it works where you live.
Yeah.
That's how most of these smaller guys are, though. Yep. I mean, they're not nationwide. They're not meant to work everywhere. It's where they work. They're going to give you a deal on buying your buying your service. You're going to have to deal with phones that may not be the latest and greatest out there, but in some cases they are. Hey, they were the first guys in the U.S. to have LTE.
Yep,
I mean,
right.
they have some some interest in this. They know kind of what they're doing. But as a, you know, in the position that they were in, they weren't going to take it nationwide. I don't think they ever had any plans to. T-Mobile will help them do that. And, you know, even combined, they're still at only 42 million subscribers, 44. So we're still talking about a good 10 million behind Sprint. And it's they're not going to take over that third place spot. I don't think they're interested in doing that. Sure, they want to get more customers, but at the same time, you know, there's other things that they were about with this. If they really wanted to, T-Mobile, that is, to get themselves into a higher position, which I don't even know if they did, they would have to have been something, you know, with Sprint. But I don't know. They're not touching Sprint right now. No one should be touching Sprint right now, I don't think.
Yeah, I would. What else? 25% of Android devices running Ice Cream Sandwich and up.
Yeah, and okay. The entire 25% has all the features of Ice Cream Sandwich and above.
That's true.
That part we never seem to mention, that when an Android device gets updated, it gets all of it.
That's true. And we're going to see more. I mean, once... I'm trying to think, what's the big... Are there any big gingerbread devices left? I mean, yes, I know there are. I'm going to get an email already.
Probably half the Galaxy S2s out there are still on gingerbread.
Mm, yeah, I'd say the S2.
I'm trying to think of any others. I'm sure there are. But, you know, we're getting there. I still think, you know, it's... I would prefer... I'm not going to say it's not good, but I would prefer to see... more devices on current OS builds, right? I get that. I still just think so many people either don't understand or refuse to understand the way that Android works. It's in, you know, we've been spoiled by the iPhone. We all have, and we all think our device should be, you know, on the most recent update. I think it should have security updates. I think carriers should always, you know, strive to get people the latest updates. But think about this, guys. And I came up with this week. What makes a smartphone manufacturer money? And this isn't new. What makes them money? Selling phones or updating phones? It's that simple.
Yep.
And updates are nightmares. They're friggin' nightmares for so many reasons.
I wrote a very long article on this, I think, a few weeks back.
Yeah.
If you want to know why you're not, you know, why it's only 25%, that's your answer. And it's a bunch of reasons. It's to do with the way, you know, the nature of Android, the nature of the customizations, all the certification stuff that you go through. It's a nightmarish process.
Alex, you're Skyping out on us a little. Or maybe it's not you, maybe it's me. Is it me?
No.
No.
It's Alex. All right. Alex,
we're just polite. Like you.
Alex, call back and hang up.
Can we get Alex to say droid before he does?
Or do that.
Oh,
that's it. Alex is gone. I'm looking back through the rest of the.
Quick, talk about the Queen.
There you go.
I'm looking back. So, any better?
Yes. Or am I still...
Okay. Cool.
Much better. I'm looking back through posts. I feel like we're missing something big. Am I forgetting something big? Probably.
The refrigerator patents.
You want to talk about refrigerator
patents? Yeah,
that's just, hey, patents are news, right? Mm-hmm. I see it everywhere. Patents are patents. I did that, and I caught a lot of flack this morning when I woke up in my email. not from Phil or Alex, but... And I'm not going to name any names, but if you sent me an email telling me how I wasted your time, just listen to me for a second so I can waste a little more of your time. These companies have been suing each other since the idea of a company came up. I did that for you to see that, you know, when Apple and Samsung fight it out in court, it's only news because we make it news and you make it news. That's been happening. It's always happening, and it happens with everything, including refrigerators. Mm-hmm. We get all crazy, and we man the torpedoes and boycott Apple and never again and all this other stuff. we need to just chill a little bit and let the people that are paid to have to fight, fight. And we can just be happy and use our phone. I don't care who wins the next lawsuit tomorrow. The phone is in your hand. Nobody's going to come take it away. Mm-hmm. Nobody's going to say, Google, you have to stop making Android. Nobody's going to say, oh, you can't sell iPhones anymore. None of that crap is ever going to happen. We push it because you guys want to hear it. You guys want to hear it because we push it. It's a catch-22 that I'm not going to take a break from the internet for a year, but I'm taking a break from the patent crap for a year. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
Now that the refrigerator war is over, I'm done.
I wrote that a couple weeks ago, right? Like, I want to talk about phones. I want to write about phones. I don't want to – if I wanted to write about, you know, lawsuits, I'd cover law for a living. I'd go back to the newspaper and, you know, do these process stories. Now, that said, I am curious as hell as, you know, what happens with the Samsung-Apple thing in the jury forum, and I think we've all read that by now, and it's a really interesting story. But, you know, I'm not going to – no, I'm done. I really am. I don't care. I have more happy things to write about. We're going to San Diego next week. You want to talk about that? We're going to CTIA.
Yes.
I don't think we're going to see much. I think, you know, I'll get to see some of these phones I haven't touched yet. You know, we might get something from Verizon, maybe. I say maybe it'll be nothing. I think back to the fall one 2 years ago, I think, when it was just a bunch. It was like half dozen little phones, but, you know, then we have to cover them. But, man, it's sounding pretty slow.
The one device you might possibly get is that rumored 5-inch HTC thing on Verizon. Do you reckon that's a possibility? That could be the big headline Android thing for the show.
Maybe. Possibly. I'm not putting money on that at all.
Mm.
I'm not putting money on that at all. It's been...
I think that kind of device, you would want a European launch as well. I'm pretty sure we've seen all HTC's European stuff.
Yes.
So... If it's not coming out in Europe and we haven't seen it yet, and the rumors actually have dried up significantly in the past month or so, where's it gone? Has it just gone back into development? And, you know, it's kind of strange.
Yeah, I don't know. What are you saying, Jerry?
I think from Verizon we're gonna see a shindig in New York or San Francisco, just like we saw from AT&T. I don't know if it'll be at CTIA or not, but I know everybody that's on Verizon screaming about where the new phones are, they're coming for the holidays. Yeah.
They're always
Verizon's going to have plenty for you to buy.
There will always be new phones. God, I really can't think of anything else we're missing. I'm still not going to talk about Nexuses. Don't send me any more links to like fifth party stories about Nexus rumors, because I don't care.
That's what happened to the 5-inch HTC phone. See, in the middle of the night, Vic and Dotra flew to Taiwan and said, hey, let's make that our Nexus, just like we did with Asus, and that's why it disappeared.
Yeah. It's even bad. No, I'm not talking about them. I'm not in the business of confusing people any more than I already do. So I'm just, no, not doing it. All right, you want to do some emails and voicemails? Let's change it up this week. Let's do emails first. What do you say? Like, that's the biggest thing we... throwing Alex off his game there. He's like, no, I can't do it.
I just loaded the list of emails, and I'm looking at the first one. It has the word Nexus in it several times.
Damn it! Ah! All right, read it then.
All right, if HTC or Samsung or any other manufacturer will make another Nexus phone in the future, whenever... Am I right in guessing the camera will not receive the love OEM branded phones will? In other words, will Nexus phones always be stuck on relatively disappointing cameras because Google will only put the out the standard and can't go high end like HTC with its image chip?
That is a perfectly fine Nexus question.
Yep, that's a good question.
That is a good Nexus question. I don't know.
With a lot of proprietary stuff that's in camera firmware, right?
So yeah. I don't see HTC licensing.
One X, but I,
go ahead.
Yeah. I don't want the 1X camera in a Nexus.
Really?
I want the camera in a Nexus to be unburdened, unencumbered, and as open as it can be.
Unfeatured?
So we don't have problems. Hey, that comes along with the territory. I can accept it.
Okay. I don't know why I have a hard time using third-party camera apps. I shouldn't, because it's just another app, right? But, it, I mean, to me, yeah, it just feels different. Like, it's not the built-in camera. Maybe it's not as good. Just something. Something just feels weird.
Well, I think what a lot of people, the quality aspect, when your camera takes a picture, it gets all these points of lights, and it has to assemble that into a JPG file. Mm-hmm. There's lots and lots of companies out there that write software to do that, and very few of them are open enough for Google to use. But HTC uses Sony, don't they, Alex? Or Samsung uses Sony's algorithm?
I think actually they both use Sony. I think pretty much, pretty much any smartphone you buy, whether it's Samsung, HTC, or Apple, actually, chances are it's actually a Sony camera assembly in there.
And there was all that fuss last year. Kodak was suing everybody because they claimed their rights were infringed. That's stuff that Google doesn't use because you have to license it out, and that means it's not going to be able to be put into AOSP as easy.
Right, and I get that.
What we get is good enough, but yeah, it could be a lot better, but I'm okay with it. I want it to be open.
I want HDR and I want panorama. I don't care about all the other crap.
You can get that from the market.
Right.
There you go.
I know, I just want it built in. I'm lazy. I got enough other crap to install. I'm getting old. I'm getting cranky. Getting crankier. Leo writes, on the news that Google Play now has a new OAuth tool, I just had a quick question. If the new tools now allow Google authentication, how are apps like Google or GReader Pro, and Tasks able to use Google account info before? Why does this do it differently? Thanks, guys. Love y'all, especially one of you. Well, thanks.
Start a fight.
Yeah. All right, Mickey, what's the deal? What's going on here? Sorry.
I don't know. I have no idea.
That was wrong. No, actually, Jerry's been explaining this to me for a week, so I'm going to make him keep explaining it to the rest of you now.
You've always been able to do OAuth through any app you write, through a Google account.
Right.
The new tools are developer tools that make it very easy to build that into your app.
So instead of having like the janky web page that opens up, will it do it where it asks you, do you want to give Google permission to or whatever?
Right. If you load Google Music, let's say, right, and it brings up that nice black screen with the information there and two buttons at the bottom, they're all going to look the same now, and they're all going to be using the same method. And that's a good thing. Make it easier for the developers. Give them more time to write better apps.
Cool. Who wants to read Sebastian? Nobody.
I'll go for it. Sebastian writes, my Galaxy S2 is acting strangely, freezes often, is working slower than when I bought it. Sometimes it restarts itself, usually when wireless does not turn on successfully. So when updated to ICS 4.0.3, when I updated to ICS, it worked fine and a little bit faster than when it had Gingerbread. If I back up all my files, do a factory reset, will that help fix the problems? Can factory reset fix or help any of these problems? I would like to stay on a factory ROM. I guess you mean stock ROM.
Yeah. That's something we hear a lot about, actually, after people update. My phone runs slow now. It works like crap.
Well, a lot of those databases need a little more touching than they're able to get through an OTA.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and 2.3 to 4.0 is a big update, and you got a lot of data left behind that, like Jerry says, needs to be converted over. I think a factory reset probably is the way to go. It's likely something hasn't gone over properly when it's been updated. And certainly if you factory reset it and there's still a problem, you can always take it back to a store and say, look, what's going on with my phone.
Right. Especially if the not connecting to Wi-Fi, the intermittent problem he's talking about.
Something's not right there.
Yeah, that's a warning flag. That definitely I would factory reset, and if it continues to do that, I would talk to the person you bought the phone from.
That could also be hardware, right?
Right.
Hey, speaking of updates, have any of you guys tried the CyanogenMod updater thing? I just thought about it because I just initiated one right now in the middle of the podcast. No? It's interesting.
I think it's cool that it's there. I don't actually have anything running CM at the moment, though. So
it's different than RAW Manager, obviously, because all it does is update. Right, it pulls in the update. It updates the phone. So I mean, it's assuming that you're smart enough to get CyanogenMod on here in the first place, and you can do custom recovery.
Right.
And I understand that argument, but at the same time, I mean, look, there's a lot that I have that I take issue with. with RAW Manager, yeah. and especially all the bugging me to buy stuff, but I get it, even if I don't like it. It looks nice. It works well. It's an interesting direction. I think they'll probably have to change the philosophy on it a little bit. But, I mean, what if I need, you know, do you never need to update custom recovery? I guess you don't have to, but I don't know. But I guess if you're,
I think it's all about getting. I mean, you imagine. I guess it's kind of strange now. The most recent fully stable version of CM is CM9, right?
Right.
I think this is designed for people who want to just install stable versions, have a custom ROM, remain relatively safe, and then okay, they've got an easy way to update that isn't. They don't necessarily have to go back to messing around in recovery. They can root their phone, install it once, and then the new software then takes care of updating itself.
Yeah.
Then the next step is a Windows executable file that you plug your phone in and it flashes recovery and flashes CM the first time.
Yep.
And that would be easy for them to do. I mean, they're working on a path to make things more, easier for users. I can see that happening. And on one level, that's a really good thing. Mm-hmm. I think it's great to see that because a lot of people would like to, I'll use the word hack. A lot of people would like to hack their phone.
It's scary the first time.
They see terminal commands and stuff, right?
I remember my first time. God, Jerry and I, if you haven't seen I got Jerry good this afternoon. At least I thought I got him good. So if you haven't seen, what Open Web OS is, so after Web OS was put out to pasture, HP released it as Open Web OS. Mickey will love this. Jerry, we're going to get this running on a Galaxy Nexus and send one to Derek and send one to Mickey to use. So Jerry and I, I'm not a Linux guy, but I've got an Ubuntu build here for emergencies, and I guess I'm going to need to wipe it and start over or something now. Because Jerry's just like, oh, you're screwed. So we're, futzing around with that all day today because apparently some source code for the Galaxy Nexus with Open Web OS is sort of out there, only not really because, we couldn't get it to work. So I guess it's not out there. Anyway. Oh, so my troll. So Jerry says, all right, sudo something? You need super user permissions. And so like on Android, you have the super user app that will act as a gateway. So on Linux, you have to put in your password. You have to do it on a Mac a lot too. And so Jerry's like, all right, type this. So I tell him, Jerry, what's my password? I made him sit on it for only 5 seconds. It's like, just kidding. Here's my password. I'm not that bad. All right. That was a horrible joke. Let's go to voicemails. Sorry. That was not good. Pete's voicemail.
Hi, this is Pete, and this is for the Android Central podcast. And my question is, every now and again when my Samsung Droid Charge stock reboots, my notification ringtone goes to the default Droid sound, and there's some of the customized settings in the default camera launcher flip back. Has anybody else heard about this with any of the phones or just mine? Great show. Listen to it every week. I'm heartbroken when you guys take a day off, but I'll survive. You guys have a good one. Peace.
Droid Charge reboots, resets. So the initial, I'm trying to remember back to how these work. The initial boot sound isn't actually part of Android, right? Isn't that hard coded into something?
No, it's a sound file inside the ROM.
Is it?
The splash screen, the picture you see before it boots.
Okay.
On your 1X, it's the one that says 1.
Right.
That's hard coded in the hard.
Okay. that I don't know? Anybody?
It's, you know, this is not the first time I've heard of that issue. I don't know that I've heard, you know, it on the charge, but that's just something that does seem to crop up now and then. My best advice is to go to the forums, yep. The AC forums, go to the Droid Charge section, make your title of your post, "I need help, my ringtone keeps resetting." There's some smart cookies in there, and they will be able to walk you through the few things you can do without rooting or messing with your phone. You know, they'll work with you. Yeah, tell them Jerry sent you. They all will really love that.
All right. Sorry, we couldn't help a little more, but yeah, they'll definitely take care of your forums. All right, Daniel's voicemail.
Hi, my name is Daniel Wilkins, and I'm calling for the Android Central Podcast. Hey, guys, I'm due for an update on the phone here soon. I'm thinking about the Sprint. I think about either getting the HTC Evo 4G or the Samsung Galaxy S3. My question is, I am really a fan of stock Android. I'm really a fan of Jelly Bean. I use it on my Nexus 7, and I love it. I'm not really much for a custom skinned ROM. So the process of rooting your phone and installing a custom ROM, say Xanagen Mod 10, how hard is that for the average person? I am computer savvy, because I major, I work with computers. I, you know, put together my own custom PC, but I've never rooted a phone or installed a custom ROM before. Is it really talking? How often do I would have to update this thing? Say I put Xanagen Mod 10 on my new S3. Am I going to have to update it constantly? That's my question. My little girl starting to cry, so I will see you attend to her. Thank you very much, Smith.
Bye-bye, daughter. I mean, that's a really good question, because we tend to kind of skirt over that, right? And
right.
I think, again, we need to back up and define terms, right? We use the term rooting a lot before you do any of this, and that's not entirely accurate. A couple things you need to do. You need to be able to install a custom recovery, and that needs to be able to write to the rest of the phone, right? So that's generally what you hear is unlocking the bootloader. When you unlock the bootloader, it allows you to flash the recovery and flash the other partitions. And really, that's the toughest part, right? Once you do that, then you can flash anything on there you want. It's just a matter of getting it onto the phone and being able to figure out the recovery menu and understand how that works. I haven't done any of the Sprint phones in a while. I can't remember. Is the Evo on HTC's bootloader unlock thing?
Not sure.
Think it is. Let me just check.
I'm willing to bet.
I know it's easy enough to unlock whether it's on there or not.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty much plug your phone in, make sure you have the drivers, and then run this little program that somebody has built. But what I want to say, Daniel, is, you know, Sprint gives you 15 days to try a phone. Why not spend 10 of those with the Galaxy Nexus if you want stock gingerbread? You know, the Galaxy Nexus, and it's got some battery problems people complain about. Buy a spare battery. It's only $99. Try it. If the camera on my Galaxy Nexus was good enough to take pictures for the blog when I'm out, it's the phone I would use every day.
Right.
I really think it does very well with stock Android, and it's worth a look. And if it doesn't, then switch. Either one of those phones is – one's just as easy to hack and switch to CM as the other. If you already have it in your head that you're going to change out the operating system – it's all just a matter of looks and, you know, which phone looks and feels better to you, because hardware-wise, they're both about the same. It's, you know, but it's worth a try looking at what comes out of the box the way you want it first.
Mm-hmm. And then if you do decide you want to change, go into our forums. They usually have really good instructions. XDA, you know, obviously where a lot of the stuff originates. Is generally pretty good. We try to write ours in English, maybe a little more for the novice, you know. And if you find one of the one click things, don't be ashamed to use it. You know, I know we talk down to them a little bit, but they're also there for a reason, and I get that. Mm. So,
yeah, if you want to crack security on a phone, then the one click is the way to go.
That's it, I think. It's good to have Mickey back, even if we didn't talk network too much. A little bit. Schooled me on Metro PCS.
Neil?
It's just good to have Mickey back.
I'm Mickey, happy to be back.
Are you still there? Are you listening?
I'm listening.
You nod off? You okay? I know how it is. It's all right. Well, Mickey, take us home.
You can get in touch with us by sending email to podcast@androidcentral.com or leaving a voicemail at 888-468-6158. Type in extension 222. You can also follow all of us on Twitter. The site is @AndroidCentral. Phil is @PhilNickinson. I am @TCPJ_Mickey. Jerry is @GB Hill. Corey, who's not with us tonight, of course, @C Streeter. And Alex @AlexDoby. You can also follow all of the other writers over at Android Central. The entire site, podcast, and everything else you love about Android Central brought to you by shopandroid.com. You can also place your orders by calling 888-468-6158.
Sweet. Hey, by the way, since everybody asks, if you've never tried to watch this show on your phone, everybody complains, you can't run Flash down. Well, get the Ustream app, because actually just updated, and here's the important part. It updated for Nexus 7 support. So you can now watch the Android Central podcast live on your Nexus 7, which, if you ask me, is kind of the way to do it. I love that device. It's the one I took to Korea. I didn't take the iPad, by the way. I took the Nexus 7, because I like it. I like the size better for travel. I don't even use the iPad that much anymore. Use it when I want to browse, because the browser is still better. Sorry, it just is. Not sorry. It's better. Anyway.
What's better about it?
I don't know. It's just smoother most of the time. Like, I think it redraws a little better. Makes sense?
Yeah. I'm just wondering.
It's getting there. Like, Chrome, I mean, Chrome is good, and that's what I use now. But I think Safari on the iPad just, and everything still redraws better on iOS, right? I mean, that's what they modified it to do.
Yeah, they're using hardware dedicated just for redrawing stuff.
Right. So it's getting close. It's getting better. I've been playing that bowling game that I talked about on here.
Mm-hmm.
I think I did like a very quick post. That's what I've been playing on here. And, like, 7-inch tablet. Perfect for that. Perfect. So that's it. We'll talk Carbon next week after it comes out. And Mickey, Jerry, Alex, thank you guys. Chat room, thank you guys.
Thank you, Bill.
See ya.
Cute.
Night.
See what I did there?
I see.
People have been talking about Carbon. It's not even out. I understand it's taking a while, but come on, people. Don't be a dick.